Accountability and transparency is the best path to take. So I need to admit to my church that I've been struggling with an addiction. It's been revealed over the last 4 or 5 months that I've been struggling with withdrawals because I am addicted to sunshine. Please pray for your pastor. Wasn't it good? Anybody did yard work yesterday like me? I was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. In a couple weeks is Easter, and begin praying for Easter, who you're gonna invite, who God wants you to invite, and you can send them a text, you know, take a picture of the logo in the program or online, and be praying about who, God, do you want me to invite to Easter. And also we have 3 services. I don't know if you can read that, but it's 7:30. We've added a 7:30 service, keeping our 9 and our 10:30 normal hours, but we've added the 7:30 service. So those of you who love getting up early and coming to church, I pray for you. I am not a morning person, but I will be that morning. But if you at all are able to come to the 7:30 service, that will free up more chairs because 9 and 10:30 will be quite full. So be in prayer about that and be inviting for that. We are concluding our series called Divine Questions, looking at the Old Testament where God has asked a question that he already knows the answers to. And these questions reveal things about us and reveal things about God. I had no idea last March when we planned out the whole ministry year of 23-24 teaching series that it's, you know, we started in January with questions, you know, apologetic questions, and now we're asking these questions that God has asked us questions. In the spring, we're going to talk about questions we ask God, and then in the summer, we're finishing with questions Jesus asked in the New Testament. So I didn't plan on that, didn't realize it until like 2 weeks ago. It's the year of questions. So that's where we're headed. But today we are going to finish this out. Turn to the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. It's near the end of the Old Testament, right between the Z brothers, right in between them. This little book is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. And this prophet's style was very simple, but direct. Simple, but direct. Now, let me give you the background of this story. Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC, before Christ. And God had promised the nation of Judah that in Jeremiah 29, he promised that they would be in captivity for 70 years, and then God would bring them back to the land. Then, way before Jeremiah, there's prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44 and 45, where God brings up a specific name of a king called King Cyrus, that God was going to use a Gentile king to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. This is all prophesied. And sure enough, the Persians defeated the Babylonians. Persia is modern day Iran. And a king by King Cyrus shows up on the scene. And some of the Jews went to this king and said, "Did you know that our God prophesied about you?" And they showed him in Isaiah where God calls him by name. And he was so impressed with that he thought it was his idea, that he would release 50,000 Jews to go back home. And we're going to hear some money to begin the process of laying the foundation for the next temple. It all came about. And that prophecy in Isaiah was given 150 years before Cyrus was even born. And so God kept his word. And in 516, exactly 70 years, the nation of Israel began to come back from exile. And they came, and the first thing they did, they built an altar to worship God. They were so grateful. They were so overwhelmed with thanksgiving. said, God, we want to worship you. Then they began to lay the foundation, and they completed the foundation for the next temple, and then stopped. And nothing has taken place for 16 years. The reason why they stopped twofold, first of all, they were discouraged because of the opposition from the Samaritans, but they were also distracted by building their own homes for their own families. So join with me in chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what he says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time is not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Quote, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, said the Lord. Now, not all distractions are sinful. Satan does that. He tries to distract us with sinful things. So in this situation, them building houses for their families was not wrong at all. They needed to have houses. They needed to have shelter for their families. So Satan, if he can't distract us with something sinful, he will distract us with something good that will slowly draw us away from God. He'll use anything and anyone with the goal of how can I draw them away from following after God with passion. He'll use relationships to draw people away from himself. He'll use a marriage. He'll use children. He'll use a career. He'll use hobbies. He'll use entertainment. He'll use relaxation. All those things are good things. Satan doesn't care. Whatever it takes to draw us away from God, he will use it to distract us. And God, who was once very high or the highest of our priority list, begins to slowly slide down as a priority in our lives. So the divine question today is unique. I mean, it says, is it time for you to live in paneled houses? Well, my house is a ruin. This is a translation. God's saying, what about my house? What he's really saying is, hello, what about me? I'm right here. I answered your prayer request. I fulfilled my prophecies. I brought you back out of captivity, back into the land. I actually had a Gentile king pay to start building of the temple. And you were so grateful. You were so overwhelmed with thankfulness. And now, hello, what about me? What about my house? If you're taking notes today, the central point is this, is our priorities are always revealed by how we use our time and money and energy. Our priorities will always be revealed. Take a close look at where do you spend your time. And we spend our time on a lot of things that are important. But where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money? Where do we spend our energy? That will reveal what is really important to us. Again, Satan, if he can't distract us with sinful things, he'll distract us with good things, with the goal of, let me do use this to draw them away from God. And here's the pattern. We get distracted and we cool off. It's like taking a coal outside of the fire. We cool off, then we rationalize. Oh, I'm just taking a little break. You know, it's not that big deal. I'll follow God again. I'll do this again. I'll serve God again. I'll do this. But I just need a break. I need time. We got to do this. We got to do this. We talk ourselves into or out of anything. We have PhDs with that. And then pretty soon we're over here and we're apathetic. And we're far from where we need to be. So in the context of this question, and really the context of this whole story, here's what this reveals about you and I. First of all, it reveals that we prioritize what's important to us. And there's nothing wrong with that. Bottom line is, we will do what we really want to do. We will spend money toward things we really want to spend money towards. And we will give our energy toward things that are really important to us. I mean, let's just be honest. We all do that. We all do that. And all of us have a priority list. You may not have it written down, but we all have one. Where is God on your priority list? Where does he rank? God knows. Maybe he's in your life going, hello, I'm right here. What about me? What about me? For many years in our marriage, Candy and I had a budget all written out, but it was in a drawer and we didn't use it. So did we really have a budget? No. And then we kept finding ourselves getting in trouble. How come there's more month than money, right? And we have always, you know, given to the Lord, tithed and offerings and all that, but we were constantly finding ourselves in trouble. So then a number of years ago, we sat down and said, okay, we just swipe and then pay the price later. And then I'm stressed, she's stressed, and when mom and dad stressed, the whole house is stressed. I said, we are going to manage every single dollar and every pay period. And so actually we started with a brand new budget, and we did this symbolically on this, you know, when we get paid on the 1st or we get paid on the 15th, the very top of our budget is what we give to God, honoring God with the first fruits that God has blessed us. You know, you give to God first, and then you manage the rest. You be stewards of the rest. And we took it seriously. Then we realized the whole phrase, how money has wings, and it disappeared. Then we saw where it was going. I was like, oh, we spent that much for eating out? We spent that much, you know, for this thing over here or this, you know, fun thing? And once we started stewarding God's money to every dollar, down to every dollar, we found out we had actually more opportunities to give back to God and to increase our giving as God directed us, and we had less stress because we knew where it was going. But the thing was, we actually prioritized visibly on our budgets God. I actually, when we refinanced our house years ago, I said, you know, they said, you know, what day do you want automatic withdrawal? And I said, on every second, the second of every month, because our giving to God comes on the 1st of every month. Just symbolically, it was like, we're taking care of God, not taking care of him, he doesn't need me to take care of him, but in my mind, honoring God first. And it helped us manage the rest. It's amazing what better stewards you are where you know where every single dollar is going and you honor God. The second thing this reveals about you and I is that we ignore the principle of the path. You're saying, what's the principle of the path? I've taught it a couple times. We have a whole series next spring on this. Here's the principle of the path. Direction determines destination. Direction, not intention. Intention are feelings like, I want to do this. No, that doesn't even count. Direction determines the destination. Every path has a destination. Every path has a destination. And several times in this little book, God is saying, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways, meaning examine your ways. And that word ways in the Hebrew means paths, direction. Examine where you are going with God. And the principle of the path is this. It comes from Proverbs 22:3. The wise see danger and change course. The foolish just keep going and suffer for it. The wise going in the direction that I should be going, I'm going to change course. That's a wise person, a prudent person, Proverbs says. The foolish person just, we're just going to keep going, keep doing the same old thing, and then suffer for it. You see, our time is a path. It will lead us in a direction with a destination. Our money, how we spend it, is a path that will lead to a destination. Our energy, where we give our energy, is a path. Relationships, that's a path. Hobbies, that's a path. And it's okay to have a lot of things, but they are going to lead somewhere. And when we ignore the principle of the path, then we find ourselves in a place like, how did I get to this destination? And the answer is simply, you picked the path. And it was going to lead here. Now, as the lead pastor here for many years, I have seen something over and over and over again. And I've tried to warn families. See, when kids are small, then they got ants in their pants and they got to go do something. They got to get the energy out. And we look at them like, man, I wish I had that energy. And so like, let's put them into soccer. You know, let's put them into baseball. Let's put them into this and put them into that. And that's awesome. I'm glad I did that when I was growing up and we did that with our girls. But you have to be careful. Because as they get older and they start showing like that, they're pretty good. We think they're going to be on the collegiate level. They may go pro. That's vain imagination for most parents. But what happens is they get sucked in, something good, sucked in, and they're like, okay, now as they get older, there's a tournament in Yakima over a weekend. It's just one weekend. It's no big deal. And I've seen this with families. Then the next year, it's 4 weekends. And then pretty soon, these families who are faithful, they're coming to church, their kids were involved in church. Pretty soon, now it's 3 months in a row, they're not here at church. And then it's 6 months. Then we don't see them. I can't tell you how many times parents would come to me years later and I would catch them in the hallway or I see them in the store in town and they're like, hey, pastor, you need to pray for our kids. Really? What's going on? Yeah, they just have no desire to go to church. And inside of me, I am screaming, you taught them that. You communicated that God wasn't that important. There's other things more important. Again, a good thing called exercise. A good thing being on a team and all the principles about that. Satan will use a good thing to distract us so that we move away from God and our kids will walk with us. Principle of the path. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Well, I didn't intend for this to happen. Doesn't matter. You got on that path and it led you to a destination. The third thing this reveals about us is that we fail to examine the reasons behind a lack of blessings. The lack of blessings in our lives. Have you ever stopped and said, whoa, we're receiving less blessings from God. Why is that? That's a good question to ask. So in verse 5 and 6, he kind of illustrates this. He says, give careful thought to your ways, give careful thought to the path that you are on with God. You have planted much, but have harvested little. I mean, you worked really hard, little fruit. You eat, but you never have had enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. There's all these metaphors, all right? You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. One that could be a thing called inflation, but I'm not going to go there. This is given a metaphor of God is pulling back his blessings on you, on your family, because he's going, I'm right here. I've blessed you here and here and here and here and here, but I obviously am not as important to you that I should be. So God is pulling back his blessings. So let me ask you this question. How bad do you want God's blessings? God's blessings is a path, and it has a destination. The first question to ask, if you start examining carefully your ways and start, wait a second, over here, God was blessing, but lately, over the last number of months, or last number of years, God's blessings has pulled back. First question to ask is, God, is there sin in my life? You know, and if you know it, obviously, you got to deal with it, confess, make changes. But even as King David says, I often pray this when I talked about last week, when all of a sudden my prayers aren't being answered, I get kind of wig out. God, is there any sin in my life? And as David said, God, is there any secret sin? Is there a blind spot in my life or choices that I'm not aware of? Reveal that, because I want to make it right with you. That's a good question to ask. And then another question to ask is, how high is God on your priority list? How high is he really, practically? So we fail to understand the reason behind the lack of blessings. The next thing that I want to say this is that you and I, we are often the biggest reason why we lack God's blessing in our life. We want to blame this person, that person. We want to blame God. No, you and I are often the biggest reason why God's blessing has been withheld. Now let's talk about what this reveals about God in this context of this story. First of all, number one, God desires to bless us. God desires to bless us. The purpose of this entire little book is God is saying, I want to bless you, but your choices, your priorities are hindering me. God didn't need a temple. God's not up in heaven going, man, I really wish I had a real temple so I could be there. No, he wanted to be honored. That's what he was looking for. And God wanted their hearts and their obedience and their honor, mainly respect me. That's what God wanted. But I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Second thing this reveals about God is God withholds blessing to get our attention. Don't miss that. God is withholding blessings, but the purpose is he wants to get our attention so that we will examine our ways so we can position ourselves to receive God's blessing. Look at verse 9. God says this, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, whether it's wages or fruit or harvest, what you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields, on the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, even on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Oh, you're working hard. But I'm trying to get your attention that I'm not a priority. I'm not being respected. I'm not being honored. But I'm trying to get your attention. And then this principle that comes from God, reveals about God, is blessings always follow obedience. Blessings always follow obedience. Blessings always follow obedience. As parents, those of you parents in the room, when your children do something crazy, like they do exactly what you asked them to do, without the rolling of the eyes, without the sighs, without the, and they don't give it a half effort, they give their full effort. Are you in a better position just like, I just want to bless them? Yes. Now, part of my blessings as a father was, there's a thing called food and housing for my kids. But I wanted to bless them abundantly. When they did things on their own that they needed to be done, they took initiative, one of my favorite words, they took initiative to do what needed to be done without being told. They received their dad's blessings quicker. Blessings always follow obedience. Now, in this little book, 38 verses, God is described as the Lord God Almighty 14 times. 14 times in 38 verses, God is referring to himself as the Lord God Almighty, meaning I have all the power. Honor me. Put me in the right priority. And I love in this little book, God marked the moment that they were challenged. Verse 1, chapter 1, in the second year of the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the prophet came. God marked the moment they were challenged by God. Then God marked the moment that they chose to obey. Chapter 1, verse 12, the people obey. The people feared God. Verse 15, when? On the 24th day of the sixth month. God marked the moment they were challenged. God marked the moment they started to obey. And then God marked the moment his blessing started. In chapter 2, it says, from this day on, God's saying this, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from this day on, I will bless you. See, God takes his blessing seriously. He marked the moment they were challenged, the moment they started obeying, on the 24th day of the sixth month. Now on the 24th day of the ninth month. Wait a second. That's right. God waited 3 months. They started obeying. They went up to the mountain, started bringing down timber, started getting to work, started organizing, started getting, you know, work schedules and plans, taking it seriously. God waited 3 months to bless them because God wanted to see, are you guys serious? Are you really putting me in my proper place of priority? See, we want to obey and immediately get blessed by God. Like, I did it. Bring it. I'm ready. God's going, no, let me just wait. But I started going to church again. God's like, golf clap. Let's see if you're real about this. Let's see if you're serious about this. Oh, we made this change. We changed course. We got onto a different path that's going to lead to a destination. God's like, awesome, golf clap. Now let's see if you actually start walking down that path that has a destination called God's blessing. But I love the fact he says, from this day on, I will bless you. My experience is that God's blessings flow down, not up. Here's my priority list. I knew I was going to go public with this. I had to make sure I'd be honest because I'm accountable to God. God is my highest priority. I live, I exist to please him. Then my wife. And then my girls and grandkids. And then Grace Point. Like, Pastor Barry, isn't Grace Point right up here? I was like, hold on a second. You don't want a pastor that puts the church above his marriage and his family. Because the marriage and the family will always suffer, and guess what will eventually suffer? The church. I love you, but I love my wife and kids more. I do. Just be careful about that. Then I got hobbies. Go Niners. I love working in my yard. I love remodeling stuff. The stuff that just, I enjoy. You gotta have that. And as I got older, the decades just keep counting up. I gotta be healthy. So I gotta work out, I gotta do this. That's my priorities. As a result, God's blessing always flows down. Now, here's a different set of priorities, had no one in mind. Where like, oh, my job is the most important thing. I gotta provide for my family. That's awesome, that's right. And then my family, my kids are actually, if you're honest, more important than my spouse. I gotta have fun, okay, there's God. And then my spouse, and then travel, friends, whatever. Blessings always fall are from God, and they flow down. Our priorities will always reveal how we use our time, our money, and our energy. Give careful thought to your ways. When it comes to God and the things of God, what path are you on that has a destination? How bad do you want God's blessing? Now, this is not a sermon to raise money for church and next phase or horizon. No. This is just you and God and the things of God. So let me ask you some questions as you examine your ways. How much time do you spend with God and the things of God? Meaning, how often are you in a corporate worship gathering when you physically can be here? The average church attendance today is half the time, half the church. You know, if there's 4 weeks, there's two weekends. And God's blessings are reduced in a lot of families. How often are you in a service? How often are you growing closer to God outside of church service? Or do you just come in, sit down, check the box, sing some songs, listen, and then there's nothing outside? You know, there are classes for men targeted for these next 8 weeks. Classes for women, there's Bible studies, there's discipleship opportunities, there's where you can, life groups, where you can, outside a church service, be actually working on and developing your relationship with God with other people. How much time do you spend with God and the things of God? Second of all, what percentage of your money is going toward God and the things of God? Again, God doesn't need our money, but he understands that our money reveals our heart. And I like the percentage, not the amount. God's not concerned about the amount, because God knows how much he is already blessing you with some type of income. So what percentage are you honoring God and the things of God? How much are you investing in God's ministry? How much, just if you really take a look at a real budget of where your money is flying off to, how much is flying in God's direction? Out of honor and respect and gratefulness to God. So many Christians are just tipping God, but have no problem paying a lot of money for cell phone bills and eating out and this hobby and that. Why? Because that's what's more important. Examine, give careful thought to your ways. Where's your energy going towards God's kingdom? Do you just come and attend, or do you come to also serve the body and serve our children, serve our teenagers, serve somewhere that you spend your energy on, not just receiving, but the energy to give back to advance God's kingdom? There is never a ministry that says, we got enough people, we're good. Please don't come. Please don't help. So God is saying, you got things where your money, time, and energy are going. Those are important things, but hello, I'm right here. I'm here. What about me? What about my kingdom? I've done all these things in your life. What about me? How important am I? So on the 17th day of the third month of the year 2024, you have thus been challenged by God. I don't know where your priority list, but God knows exactly where he is on your list. So on this 17th day of the third month of the year of our Lord 2024, you have been challenged. Give careful thought to your ways. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this little book that's so rich with truth about you, about us. Thank you that you marked the moment they were challenged. You marked the moment they began to obey you. And then months later, you marked the moment of when said, now from this day on, I'm going to bless you. So Lord, I pray that we would all honestly examine the path that our time is on, our money is on, our energy is on. And I pray that those destinations would lead to you and to your kingdom. Because God, you'll continue them bless the other areas of our life. Because that's what you do. That's the kind of God you are. So Lord, do what you want to do in the lives of people here at Grace Point Church for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Got more things than normal today, so please don't check out and start heading out for the doors. We talked about this last Sunday. I'm going to bring it up again this Thursday night. We have an informational meeting about a potential third service on Thursday nights. It's this Thursday down in the gym, down in the student center. It is not a service. It's an informational meeting. Going to lay out, here's our hopes, dreams, goals, needs. Lay them out and see what God does.